good to be back in the Lord's house, as always. And me and Brother Rick and Brother Young, we've already had a couple of church services back there. And I just enjoy hearing what the Lord's doing. It's always a joy. I like to hear good news. Amen. We pretty much quit watching regular news because there's nothing good on there. It's just all bad news. But I like good news. And this book is full of good news. So I appreciate the Lord this evening. But just real quick announcements. Do remember our services. We're going to run this coming Sunday like we did last Sunday one more time. And then hopefully after that, things will be how the stream of it, and we'll move on and keep pressing on. So just remember that for Sunday. And we do have a treat tonight. I was in the cow pasture putting out hay, and I got a phone call from somewhere in Georgia, and I thought, I wonder who this is. And some guy by the name of Young said he was going to be around. And so a young man showed up. And we love Brother Young. I do. I don't know if y'all do or not, but I do. I'll say for me. I hope you do. And he is such a blessing. I love him to death. And I've always told him if he was ever up this way, he's welcome here. So he was going to be up this way. Actually, he was supposed to be in another church, but they're sort of like everybody else here lately. They've got so much sickness, they had to cancel their service. So I said, come on. And so I think we'll have a good time here this evening. And just enjoy the Lord. Just forget about everything else. Just enjoy the Lord. And we'll have a good time there. Real quickly, if you would like a Bible reading checkoff list, my wife has a couple to choose from. And so if you'll see her after service, she'll be glad to give you that, try to help you along. As you know, again, as we said last Sunday, you know, just take some steps. If it's just a chapter, if it's just a verse, do something. And you'll be amazed if you'll. I've always heard, I guess this is some type of science, that they say if you'll do something for 3 weeks in a straight row, you'll pretty much conquer it and keep doing it. So don't give up. Keep pressing on. So, amen. All right, we're going to pray, and then Brother Russell's going to come and lead us in a song, and then we'll crank up the chainsaw and let him go. So, amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you again for the good day. Thank you for blessing how you have. And, Lord, just thank you, Lord, for just letting us come together one more time tonight, Lord. And, God, we're excited. We sure want to see what the Word of God has for us tonight. I just pray, Lord, you'll give Brother Young liberty here tonight. God, give him power. God, just preach him tonight, Lord, and we sure look forward to what you're going to do, Lord. And thank you again for our church and church family. I know there's needs this evening. Lord, still a lot of sickness in our church family. God, just touch there. And Lord, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for all you have and all what you're going to do for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Amen. All right, let's all stand up. Turn to number 116. 116. We'll sing through all three verses. And so let's sing it out. All right, here we go. Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He salts me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
All right, I surprised you when I stopped there, didn't I? I was like, I can't never hear anything. I got a big mouth and just, I can't hear nothing when I'm up here. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you're supposed to say amen to that, right? All right, but I didn't hear you. So anyway, so every once in a while I'll stop and I was like, whoa, nobody's singing. All right, so on this last one, let's really sing it out. All right, so here we go.
I heard about a mansion, He's built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory.
Sing it out.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Can we see it? All right, everybody.
Amen. Aren't you glad for victory tonight? Amen. If you don't have victory, you're missing out on something, because the price is done paid. He's done everything He needed to do. All you need to do is accept. And that one verse there, I sort of understand what I was talking about when I cried out, and somehow I sure didn't understand it then. I really don't understand all of it now. But aren't you glad that when you cried out, amen, He was there. And just like old Peter got out of the boat and started to sink, he cried out and the Lord was right there. Amen. Aren't you glad? Listen, you try to get into a doctor's office. Well, we'll see you in 6 months. Well, I'm dying. Well, maybe 5 months. So, you know, they ain't no hurry nowhere else. You call on the phone to get some help, and you got to push 10,000 buttons just to get any help. And so I'm glad the Lord, all I got to do is cry out. And I'm glad He'll answer. Amen. So what a joy it is. So, but it is good to have. He's a Husqvarna steel chainsaw. So He's going to come cut some wood here in a little bit. Brother Young, you come on. And we'll let him cut a little bit of this wood a little bit. Brother, if you will, I know I've done heard it. Brother Rick's done heard it. But it'd be good, I think, for everybody to hear it. Tell that story about what happened about the guy in jail. All right. I'd appreciate it.
It was good the first time. I bet it's even better the second time.
God bless you. All right. What I was telling them, and I want to tell you this in regards to it, there's never been in my time an opportunity to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ than right now.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, you go someplace and you check out, and you stop after you walk out a ways and stop and turn around and tell whoever's on the computer, ma'am, did you know that Jesus loves you? And you're going to find out none of them are going to get mad with you. And in the end, they're going to say thank you.
Right.
Two instances that I told them about, and I'll give both of them. Since he wanted one, I like to tell them too. But I was in Taylor, South Carolina. I was to preach up there, and I went into the motel, and the lady that was on the motel, I said, ma'am, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to stay here unless I know more about you. And she looked at me a little strange. I said, I want to know if you say born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. And she looked at me and beamed all over. She said, Been saved a year and 4 months. I ain't had a needle in that length of time. He said, in fact, I'm now working, me and my husband are working with others that have that addiction. And we're just having the time of our lives telling others about the Lord Jesus. And we fellowshipped about 20, 30 minutes. She looked at me and my wife and said, y'all come down early for breakfast. We're going to fix you the best breakfast. I'm going to get these workers. We're going to fix you the best breakfast that a man ever got. And so the next morning, just as she had promised, they had a tremendous breakfast. And she went around and got all those that wasn't working at the time. And she wanted me to have Bible devotional with them that morning. And I just tell you, we started out to leave, and she met us at the door and cried and said, man, I'm going to miss y'all. I think she'd have let us stay for free if we'd have wanted to. Anyway, I had been preaching down in Florida and was headed back. And I am a man that's transparent. I don't have anything that's hid. If you want to find out anything about me, I'll give you my address, and you can go to my house. It's already open. You will just go in and find anything you want to that'll make it so that it's tangible evidence that I am not what I ought to be. And if I'm not, I'll repent and get right with God. But anyway, my son, who is my pastor, he said, Daddy, you got a letter from that lady that you witnessed to in Taylor's. Well, he'd done opened the letter to find out what was in it. He wanted to make sure, you know, nobody's going to bump his papa off. Anyway, she had written a letter and how much we had meant to her and how much change she had had in her life since we were there. And she sent me a $3 love offering. And I wrote her back and said, this $3 will never go back in to the economy. We're going to put it in a frame and keep it from now on until Jesus comes. But the one that he was talking about, this happened, what, Mama, can you give me a help 7 weeks ago or more? All right, let me give the other one too. Had a man call me and said, Preacher, I want to thank you for giving me this track. I got saved by born again, and he began to go on and on. And the whole time I'm sitting wondering because I've got one of those caller IDs, and I knew it wasn't from an area that I had been working in. And I said, sir, where are you from? He said, from Macon, South Carolina. I said, sir, I never have give out tracts in Macon, South Carolina. I said, by the way, where'd you get my number from? He said it was on the back of that track. I said, sir, my name ain't been on a track 9 years. She said it was up on my mantelpiece on my chest of drawers. And I needed God. And he said, I got it down and read it. Hey, what you're doing in the way of helping in the ministry, in fact, it's your own ministry. Okay? This is your ministry. We don't have any ownership at all. It's out of this world. The owner is out of this world. And he's coming back after you, and you're part of the greatest work, I believe, on the planet is that of giving out the Word of God and so on. Now to get to the one that the preacher's talking about. So, I don't know what date my wife gave you, but whatever she gave you, that was it. That's it. She's always right. I'm always wrong. So anyway, he called and said, this is Craig. Lynn Keller. His dad's name was Lynn Keller. Craig Keller. And I said, he said, do you know me? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, do you know Lynn Keller? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, you should know Lynn Keller. He said, you went and witnessed to him a little better than 33 years ago. And I said, good night, I can't hardly remember my name that long. He said, and his sister was the one that kept getting you to go see him. And she didn't want you to be hard on him because she thought he was a good boy. And that he just needed somebody to encourage him to do right. He said, but you told her the last time she called you, ain't no more of my patting him on the head. I'm going to bring the roof on his head. And said, you brought the roof down on his head, but he still had scars when I got to see him. He said, you told him he's going to hell and he's going to burn eternally. I said, I only told him the truth. He said, yeah, I know. He said, but he cussed you. I never have known of a man that he cursed as often and as much as he did it every day. He said he never missed you. You was on his prayer list every day. I mean, prayer list to die. And he said, and in 30 years ago, I got in trouble in Appling, Georgia. And you came. And they wouldn't let you come into the cells. They told you you could get up at the top and preach, and the prisoners would hear you. Those that were in jail would hear you. And I preached. I mean, that's like a wild man. Back then, I had a lot of zeal, very little knowledge. I told everything I knew in about 15 minutes. But at any rate, he said, that day was the greatest day of my life. He said, after you left, me and two others that were incarcerated together got down in the middle of the floor and cried out for mercy. Amen. And I got saved by the grace of God. Yeah. And he said, today marks 30 years that I've been saved. He said, I live in Atlanta. I ought to come by to see you. They made him have somewhere he had to could go, and so they had to come get him and carry him back to Atlanta, and he didn't get to come by and see me. He said, but preacher, that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is my daddy saw the change in our life, and he cried out for the mercy. Amen. And after that, he said, I never heard my daddy utter a bad word about you ever again. He said, I think when he died, you had to be 10 foot tall. And so, I'm glad. In other words, I sit in a church, and the lady that sits behind me, I want her daddy to the Lord. I want her mama to the Lord. I want her daughter to the Lord. And I got her and her family back in church. Amen. It ought to be that way with you. Circle around and find somebody. Just keep on until you've got a family going with you, a part of your church. In fact, I'll basically do a little bit on that while I'm preaching tonight. But if you're not enjoying, everybody gets to say, why are you so happy? Well, I mean, if things is happening in life, you got to be happy. Now, if I was a deadhead, yeah. Nothing ever happened, yeah. But in fact, my son told me one day we was going home. And he said, Daddy, do you know that our church is dead? I said, sure not. He said, yeah. He said, it's dead. I said, must be you too, because I ain't heard you grunt lately. He tells the story often. He said, that's when it changed. He said, I've been saying every service, amen, at least once. You ought to get involved in what God is doing. It's a wonderful thing because when you get involved, I'll promise you this, God will light you up. Amen. God will light you. I tell you what, I'd love, the two times I wish I could draw back to memory or show you what took place in my life just less than 6 months ago. I was coming back from a meeting and I put in a tape of a man that used to walk right. And I said, no, he's not the man I want to listen to. No, sir, I'm be honest with you. You done walked off the path. I'm not interested in your path. I don't want to walk the same way. So I reached over and pulled it off. And put in my next to the youngest daughter CD. And she got to sing it. And I have never made a whole lot to do over my family singing. I get with a little bit, but I'm talking about really, you know, get bent out of shape. But I'm telling you, coming up that road, it got sold. It was hard to see. I was shouting and tearing on. You thought we was in a camp meeting. And the thing about it, my little heart was flipping over and over. I said, God, I'm not sure that after 4 heart attacks I can take this. But I said, don't turn it off. It's too good. It'd be good. I'd be like, walking with God, and He was not. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And then the other night, it was about 4 o'clock, I was doing some studying. And the wind got to blowing. They didn't want no weather report that there was a bad storm, but I had one in my study. And it turned up me upside down. And I, hey, you need those. You need those. You need some happy. Why do I need to be happy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hey, folks, we're in a battle. There's a devil out there that's real. Huh? I remember going to school. I was a little bitty fella. I know I don't look like it now, but I was. I was a little bitty fella. I was in the 9th grade and still wore size 6 boys' breeches. I mean, I could get wet down good, and I still weighed 98 pounds. And, of course, everybody likes 98-pound boys, especially them big ones. They get a lot of pleasure out of beating them around, you know? And I went to a ball game one night, and bless your heart, he done promised the next time he saw me, he's going to whip me. And sure enough, he was in there, and they were one door out. But I'll be honest and fair with you, I was as fast as I was little. And I don't care what you think about running from a man wanting to beat you up that you know he can beat you up. I am out of here. I'm a coward. I don't like my blood being shed. But I tricked him and got him in far enough that I knew I could beat him to the door. And I got to the door and out of that place. But I made one dumb mistake. I took a right at the corner of the gym, and there wasn't no way out. There was a building there. And I knew death was right around the corner. The only thing is, I happened to see a pair of headlights. And back years ago, we would put a thing that made it so that you had a hype of a light. You had what was called a moonlight. And nobody had one but my brother. And he stepped out of the car and hollered my name. He didn't know where I was at. And I said, here I am! Huh? That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. We just need to start hollering, here I am, Lord! Look after me in this time and age that we now live in. Because it's a dry and a desolate place without you. Right. Without you, it is a terrible... I'd hate to know tonight that I had to live without a touch of God. I want a touch of God. I just don't want to be just a Christian. I want a touch of God. I want fire flying. Yeah. And just to be so that it's a joy to be a Christian. Amen? Yeah. But I do want to give you this, and I will preach. The ministry that you are involved in with Antioch Baptist Print Ministry is doing the fabulous work. It's unreal what's taking place and how that all of a sudden we're having churches that are wanting to be a supportive church, and we I can't tell you all the superlatives that's coming from our place at the present time. If you've read our prayer letter, you know that the man gave us 114 acres of land worth $225,000. And we are already in the makings of getting designs and so on. We've got, if we need it, another place to increase our ministry as far as the print ministry is concerned, but we also, you'll use it for a youth camp as well. And we are, and so wonderful it is. The man gave it to us, and he would not have given it to us if he'd have known that the pond that was adjacent to it was on the land. He would have kept it. He didn't know it was on there. When they surveyed it out, we owned 1/4 of the pond. That's all we wanted, just 1/4. That'll do. That'll do. That'll get it done. And we just thank God for what He's done. We've had churches that have taken us on. We've got one man from up north. We've never seen him. We don't know who he is, whatever. Sent us a check the other day, $25,000. Amen. God takes care of His Word. Amen. And it's an important Word. If you've ever read the Revelation chapter 1, you know how important it was. Because not that I, by the way, I believe in missionaries. We support at least 58 missionaries. And so we're not limited in saying we don't believe in. But the printed page is very important. Very important. And He lets us know that. And He says, if you will, that He's going to bless it. And He told John on the Isle of Patmos, He said, John, He didn't say to John, now you go to the 7 churches that are in Asia and tell them what I had to say. No, sir. He wanted it written down. He said, John, you write it down and you send every one of those churches a copy. Because he didn't want one time that message to be relayed. He wanted it over and over. In fact, he's still getting it done over and over. Amen. Because John was faithful in doing what he can. We have been faithful and I'm thankful for it. We just bought brand new. We don't have nothing's brand new. Let me back up. Brand new to us, not to them. I mean, we can't afford a correlator like we would want would be about $160,000. We're not about, and that'd give us indigestion, and Rolaids wouldn't help us at all. But we got one for about $28,000 that's doing a tremendous job. In fact, one of the workers a couple of weeks ago looked at the preacher and said, what are we going to do? This thing does it all. All we have to do is pick it up and put it in the box. And we've never had it like that. In other words, we used to have to run a little wire and then take some page wire and tie it up and do it again. But I'm glad that we got some equipment now that working wonderfully, and we thank God for that. By the way, we made that page wire work. Yes, sir, we didn't give up. We didn't give up. I wouldn't ask you to give up either. Just do what you can for God. It may not look like you got exactly what you need, but you will get it. Just stay with it. You stay faithful, I promise you, He'll do for you wonderfully so. Tonight I want us to talk to you or preach to you a theme that has been so that we've on many, many occasions have allowed it to drift into our hearts and to see, especially so in the book of Job. The book of Job, that's not where we're going. We're going to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, where we'll use our text. But it'll be so that Job chapter 1 will come into play. And most of you, if you're a Bible student, already aware of basically that I'm going to deal with that of the hedge that Job had. And tonight, we're living in that last day. I already told you, we are in a battle. If you ain't knowledgeable of we're in a battle, I mean, one of the best named preachers, and I ain't going to call his name. I mean, I used to sit hungry to be able to preach like he can. And he's a preacher. Huh? He's already started taking his hedge down. And he's in trouble big time. We'll see tonight how it is and who it is that takes your hedge down, that destroys your hedge. Most of you will think right offhand it's going to be Satan, but it's not Satan. If it was, he'd have tore down Job's. He couldn't tear down Job's, remember? He said, "You." No wonder Job's worshiping you. No wonder when he was talking to God. No wonder he's excited about you. Because you got him hedged up. But Job knew. Here's one thing that most of us haven't looked at in a while. Job was hedged in. And when I say that, he was hedged in. The hedge was here. He was in. Satan was out. That hedge was working both ways. Tonight, if you're having some things that are entreating you wrongly, that you've been thinking about doing something you ought not to, you've bumped into something. It's your hedge. Because God has got it there for your protection. Because you and I are like sheep. And sheep are some dumb animals. That's right. Now, I know you don't like me saying that, but how many times have you looked at the mistakes you've made or the times you've messed up and thought to yourself, how dumb can you get? I have called myself a dummy so many times. I try to keep my wife from doing it, but I do it. I don't want to say I told you so. But tonight I want us to look at God hedging up a nation. And we can look at it today and see how he did it. He hedged Israel up. There's still a protectiveness about Israel that you better leave her alone. God has not left her out of his desires. But beloved, I'm glad he's hedged up even us. He's hedged up even us. But you got the national hedge, and then you got a personal hedge. We see that. Now, we could go several different places, but I'm not going to do it for the sake of time because I want to deal with being hedged up on the inside. I'm not as interested on the outside. If I can get you to see in the holy ground that's on the inside, amen, taking care of the inside, I'm afraid. I've got a neighbor. Lord have mercy on his soul. He's got a hedge that I have never seen. Anything is ugly. I can promise you, I can get blindfolded and beat what he's got. Me and the preacher boy that lives beside me, we've both gone up there and told him, we will straighten your hedge out, won't cost you a dime. We're just tired of looking at it. Huh? I wonder how God is looking at our hedge tonight. You know in the book of Ezekiel, he looked for a man. He looked for a man in Ezekiel. And he could find none. How about a child of God that he saved? And now you've let your hedge become so that it's obnoxious. It's not anybody. Your children are not going to be very convinced that it will do what it's designed for. Now, the heads that I'm talking about is more than what my neighbor's got. Because this is for the safety of your sanity and of your presence with God. He's got you hedged in to where you can have what I talked about. You can have your own picnic. Dr. Sotler said, I have a revival every service. He said, everybody's talking about a revival. He said, I had one on Sunday morning. I come back Sunday night and I have me another. Amen. I like it that way. And I believe it's there for you. But there's got to be elements of the things of God that transpire. That gives you the... In other words, if I was a little bit younger, I'd show you what I'm talking about. I used to jump up and throw my feet together and click my heels together. I couldn't do that today if my life depended on it. But I can't ever remember wanting to be sad. I can't ever. When I was lost, I told everybody a lie. I told them I was happy. I wasn't. I was miserable. But I don't want to have to tell them that I'm happy, and I'm not. And I'm a Christian tonight, and I'm happy. Amen. That He chose me. I think about how that I got saved. Back when I got saved in the area that I was in, nobody ever got saved. Nobody ever got saved. They didn't give no, you didn't get no altar call. Nobody ever got saved. Nobody got. In fact, when I went tonight night and got saved, everybody's sitting there looking like I was crazy. I walked in the door squalling. I wanted to get saved right then. I didn't know you had, I mean, I thought you had to wait till that preacher got through and then I'd go get saved. Now, if I'd have been in our church and I'd have got there, I'd have just went on down because I believe somebody would have helped me to the altar. Yeah. They'd have known I need help bad. Yeah. But I squalled all the way through that service. And when I got saved, every known religion came after me. Church of Christ, the holiness crowd. I mean, Herbert W. Armstrong, the Jehovah's Witness. They didn't usually personalize it, but they tried me. But thank God it didn't work. What I got wouldn't allow that to come in. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a hedge that I had no idea was up there. They kept bumping into it. And I was sitting back just smug as a bug in a rug. Yeah. Huh? Hey, next thing I found out, I had the right Bible. Didn't know how to go get a Bible, but I got the right one. How about that? Yeah. Yes, sir. And tonight, we need to be living in that kind of peace. Amen. To know that God, He says in the model prayer, lead us not into temptation. That means He's going to presently be with you. If He's not leading you into temptation, He's there with you. I'm afraid that not much is being made out of the presence of God in our life. I mean, Uzzah was reached up and picked and put his hands on that ark. And God killed him. Everybody gets mad because God killed him. Even David got mad. But God said, I done had enough of it. Yeah. You put it on a Egyptian cart. Yeah. I mean, it was an abomination to put it on. It wasn't supposed to be put on no Egyptian cart. Right. You built a new cart. And it wasn't strong enough to hold nothing. I told you to put it on your shoulder. And are you tonight aware that though we don't have an ark in such light, that you are likened to the ark in the sense that God wants to be with you. He saved you.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit of God is going to daily. Paul said, I die daily. But so much of what we have in Christ is so overlooked until we don't recognize that we're safe in His arms.
Amen.
And we need to recognize that. And tonight, that's reason I'm dealing with that of the hedge. All right, we know that God. Let me read it so we'll know it. Mark chapter 12, please. God is the one that is a hedge builder. He's making the hedge. You can also look in the book of Isaiah chapter 5. I'm not going there. I'm going to let you, if you want to reference it, that'll be five, fine. But if you'll check in Isaiah 5, 1 through 16, 1 through 6, you'll find out that there he made a hedge, or he was keeping the hedge for the children of Israel. He wanted to protect his children. Huh? Amen. You as a parent, you had a hedge. Mine thought anyway. There was just a certain ramification that you was going to let out. You wasn't going to let your children get into a place where he's going to drown. Or an alligator get him. Huh? Can you think of Moses? That little old... Them alligators sitting up there saying, just a few minutes, I'm going to get me some fresh meat. No, he was as safe as possibly could be. And oh yes, this pandemic is terrible. Now I may catch it tomorrow and die. But I'm safe. Hey, if I die, I'll be much better off. Amen. I've already lived above what he said to start with. I'm 10 years older than that. And so I'm not trying tonight to live a life beyond expectation. I mean, as long as God wants to use me, I want to be used. Amen. But if he decides to take his hands off of me, you pray God will kill me. I don't want to stick around here and draw an old age pension. We don't need to let the tax dollars go back. Amen. You say, you being real, that's exactly right. I've been working all my life, and that's all I know. Everybody keeps saying, when are you going to retire? Retire my foot. I want to find some fire. Put a few oak limbs under it. See, can I fire it up again? I know I can't jump and click my heels together, but I can let my heart click. Hello. Mark chapter 12, verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. And a certain man planted a vineyard, and set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to the husband, and went into a far country. And you see the hedge, and you can go over in Isaiah chapter 5, and you'll see it more easily, if you can use that word. There was also a hedge in the book of Hosea. And that's not a good one. You don't want that one. Don't be so disobedient. And God puts you into that hedge. I'll just give you the reference, but you can go and look at it. Hosea 2, 6 through 7. In other words, he fixed that hedge where you couldn't find the path. I'm glad tonight that I know that I have a path. The old path you hear, and all of us want to say, are we on the old path? I hope so. But I mean, we have seen it where the church was here and the world was here. And the church and the world moved over and we moved over. I know I'm on the wrong side of what's going, but the truth of the matter is, the church moved over before the world moved over. You check that out with me. We're moving faster than the world is. But we're looking at what the world has to offer. I've been dealing with how that Moses made his choice. And I mean, here it is. Pharaoh's daughters told him all the good things he's got. But Jochebed just told him about the Creator. that was on his side.
Right.
And Moses took up his mama's love, because see, it was his mama's love that constrained him to make his choice for God. Tonight, you and I ought to make our choice to be that Christian. I mean, if we're in a battle, we need to be those that'll stand out so that those that are without can see that it's better in here than out there.
Right.
Huh? Let's put a hunger in them to get them part of having a hedge about them. Job chapter 1, if you will, and we'll look there at the personal hedge. Now, most of you are aware of the greatness of Job and what made him great. I'll let your mind drift a little bit. I know you ain't going to answer that, and I don't want you to. But Job chapter number 1. What made him great was he eschewed evil. Tonight, if you're going to have any kind of hedge, you got to eschew evil. That means to hate it. I hate it for our young people. I never had to battle the drug market. Never had to. I never had to battle going out on a wild party. I didn't have enough money. We were poor folks. And I was so dumb considering the jet set until they wouldn't have let me stay in their set no long. Huh? I'm glad I was, by the way. I'm not apologizing. I'm glad I was as dumb as I was. But I can go on and on. Our young people don't have that opportunity today. And I had an opportunity that most young people don't have. I had a mother that believed that immorality was sinful and that I didn't need to sow no wild oats. And you know what she'd tell me just before I'd go out the door when I was going out with a girl? Now you remember, Ronald, you've got a sister. You want the boys to treat your sister like you treat the girls you go with. And son, I'm going to tell you something. When you had a mama like mine that said something like that, it would crush you to even think that you might disobey her. Amen. And I'm glad tonight that there were some old-fashioned mamas that believed in keeping their children from the devil. And you tonight, this is a hedge that needs to be reinstated. It's the one that's gotten away. I preached in a church. And when I say this, most of you ain't going to believe it because I didn't. I got through preaching. And I'd been hard on sin. I let her rip, buddy. I nailed everything but the kitchen sink. And so when I got back to the pew, the preacher said, "Preacher, do you tell the truth?" I didn't know what in the world to think. I said, "I think I do. I try to." And then he made it a vote in the congregation. He said, "Folks, do you believe Brother Young tells the truth?" Thank goodness I won the vote. I don't know what would have happened if I'd have lost. He said, "Brother Young, have I said anything to you at all about this congregation and these people?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "You called names tonight. And you called names that are in this church." I said, "I didn't know nothing about it. God the Holy Ghost, give me those names. You'll have to take it up with God. Huh? I later come to find out that the deacon was allowing his unmarried son and a girl to stay in his bedroom on the weekend. You said, how'd you take that? I about throwed up. I looked at him straight by. I said, you ain't churched him yet? Oh, yes. He'd have been gone, buddy. I'm sorry. If you're guilty of it, I hope you get mad with me. I'm trying my best to ruffle your fellas. Because it's time for somebody to recognize sin will destroy you. It will destroy you. Those young people, their lives have been marred. We sit and say they destroyed their life and don't believe it. They did. They did. Sin destroys. And that's the reason moms and dads need to take the same kind of precaution that Job did. Huh? He was concerned about his family. They was involved in some recreation he was not fond of. Huh? I don't know what it's all about. Can't answer that. I'm with Job, though. I'm standing with him, friend. Amen. He's my buddy. You can't get too holy for me. Uh-uh. You can't keep young people apart until they get married more than me. Now, my youngest daughter got married. She got married. They went 20 miles down the road. They stopped at a Ingles grocery store and spent the next 2 hours kissing. They never kissed in their life. She said, Daddy, my lips were so stinking so I couldn't hardly talk. Huh? What greater memory? What greater memory? Or what greater gift can you give to a husband than that? You can't beat it. You can't beat it. That's the reason he said, her price is far above rubies. Her price is invaluable. And tonight, we need to raise young people. We need to have our house in order. And have it so that sin does not reign. It don't direct our homes. But we direct it through the things of God. And God has given you, He gives you a way of escape. You don't have to enter into no kind of, He gives you a way of escape. And He's got that hedge there to make sure you stay in. Job chapter 1, and I'm going to read it, but we're going to run from that because that's not where I want to bury up at. I want to bury up in another place. Job chapter 1. I know some of you think we're speaking to go, but don't worry about it. We ain't ready yet. I was preaching the other night. They offered me a bottle of water like that. I said, good night. That's good for another 30 minutes. Preaching, and he started pulling more water all out. I mean, I could have preached there the rest of the night, I guess. Job chapter 1 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And so you see that God has allowed Satan to test him. Because, see, God is the God of testing. There's sometimes you going through some difficult times that you don't want to go through. But it's going to make you a better person. And it's going to make it so that you are better equipped to help others, your family and so on. And so, here, I mean, I can go back to the earlier verses and show you that Satan wanted to put a knot on Job's head. I wonder how many times Brother Anthony did he jump up when he thought Job was getting close. But he was far side. Job didn't even ever get, I don't believe he ever got close to that. Brother Rick, I don't believe he ever got close to that hedge. He might have, you know, done that at him. I don't know. But he didn't play with him. He didn't play with him. And the devil is a formidable opponent. You don't need to be fooling with him nor any of his methods. Don't try to entertain your family with the way he's going. You entertain your family with that which is holy and righteous. I wish that I could show you a picture of what happened to us, what, 3-4 nights after Christmas? She don't know where I'm going to, but she's looking at me like she's lost. She's not lost. She's saved. But we don't have Christmas like all y'all do, okay? In fact, my young'uns ain't got Christmas yet. They're looking forward to it. January the 21st will be their dead Christmas. By the way, they made it that way. They designed it that way, okay? Because I give them a pretty nice gift. And they're planning on going a shopping spree. Because I give them them kind of credit cards that you can spend anywhere. $100 bills. But we had a time of exchanging gifts for the little ones at the house. And they probably was 30, 35 people. We've got, by the way, 60-something in our family. And just some of them, because they've been there on Thanksgiving, they were the whole crowd. They done eat me out of house and on. I'd have had to float alone if they come back again. I'm the only man I know of that's got 5 grills. I got 3, 2, 3, 4. I got, how many preachers I got? 5, 4 or 5? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Got 5. I have 5 preachers. I got 1, 2, 3 refrigerators. Huh? Ain't nobody but me and Mama. But Mama won't let me sell the house. And I'll not sell that because she ain't the one that rules the roost, but she's pretty close. And she wants to have it so when they ever come, they got a place to sleep. Now, when they come, there's wall-to-wall people. Everywhere. Everybody told me, said, if you raise them tight as you raise them, they ain't going to want to come back to see you. They going to run away from home. They don't like you. I can't even run them off. But here Job has been put to the test. And you've read the story, I'm sure. Very difficult time for Job, to say the least. And many of you have gone through some very difficult times. But in the end, God made you a better Christian. And I'm glad for that. But now let's go to the hedge destroyer. Like I said, some of you are already thinking, it's Satan that does it. He's not. He couldn't do Job that. God let him, but he couldn't do it. He would have loved to. And even what he got to do, he couldn't do in his fullest extent. He was limited. But who would it be? Look with me in Ecclesiastes, if you will. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And now I'm thinking probably preaching. Preacher won't want me to come back by here. Because I'm interested in hedges in the church. I'm glad that there's a hedge about this church. And I pray that you are part of keeping it so that Satan cannot get in here and make it a heathen church. Amen. You don't want that. I mean, yeah, wait a minute. Preacher's standards are too high. Preacher's not got too high standards. I promise you, I don't know where his standards are, but it ain't too high. Mine's high, but it ain't too tight. It ain't too high. You just hope John the Baptist don't show up. Hello. No, I'm glad that the church has got a hedge about it. And I'm glad that you realize that you have an important part in keeping this place different. It ought not be like that church down the street. The one that don't have the right Bible. The one that don't have the kind of godliness that you know a Christian ought to have. It ought to be so that this church stands out. What word do we want to use? What word would you want to use that it stood out how? Holy. 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 Lord God Almighty. Without holiness, a man shall not see God. If you're not presenting Him, because if you present Him, you're presenting holiness. Because He is holy. Amen. He tells you He's holy. And you and I are to be holy as I'm holy. But this is a whole... This is, hey, you trying to get to be a charismatic. There ain't no charismatic about me. I just believe that you ought to like God the way He is. And He's holy. Amen. I got saved because He was holy. And I wanted holy. I didn't want to live like a filthy swine. Huh? I didn't. I was tired of it. I can still remember the night I got saved. People don't believe some of the stories I tell. But I believe going up the road after I got saved, I fantasized. Because back in my day, you went by a car that had been burned. And you'd say that's a 25-cent job. That meant he went to the gas station and bought 25 cents worth of gas, poured it in the front seat and lit it. And I made the fantasy of going across the bridge. I'm leaving that behind me. And I got a 5-gallon can of coal oil. And I poured it on that bridge because I'm not going back. There's nothing on that side that I won't. I know that bridge is not a reality. But making commitments of staying on this side of the hedge is very wise. I want to stay where my wife's a good one to use as an illustration. If our house ever catches a fire, we ain't got a chance. There ain't no way we can unlock all them doors to get out of there. The best thing to do is throw a chair through the window and try to crawl out the windows. By the way, she's already looking at me and saying, you know it ain't got as many as I want. Huh? Well, I like to be that hedge. I'm not as good at protecting me as far as the outer man is concerned. But as far as the demonic powers that can rest upon me, can I tell you something that Dr. Sotner taught me while I was in college about prayer? He said, there's some things you ought not pray out loud about. Because the only way Satan will ever know about him is you to tell him. That's the reason Jesus said, go in your closet. Shut the door. Hello. Some of you looking at me mean now. Just straighten out. Because I'm trying to help you. But hey, now let's get it. I hope you're at your place because I want you to see that I've not made up some kind of new rules. Ecclesiastes, if you will, and chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 10, verse number 8. I thought I'd done missed it. I knew I wasn't supposed to. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. You're the one that breaks the hedge. Huh? I made the mention of that preacher. To me, throughout my ministry, he's been like that young man reported his daddy was like. He saw me as 10. That guy was 10 foot tall. He stood for standards. Stood for righteousness. He kept his church in line. And all of a sudden, his boy changed. By the way, when you read the scriptures of how that you're supposed to hate father and mother, hey, you can't be a disciple without being so that when it comes to taking God's side or your son's side or anybody's side other than God's side, you're in trouble. And he took his son's side. And his son stepped down. He was a preacher too. And he changed the name of his church. And he took Baptist off. Then he quit wearing a tie. I'm just telling you, steps he began to take. And the whole time, he's tearing down the hedge. Now some of you say, you ain't got to wear a certain tie. I know you don't. But a certain tie, and any preacher that's a true man of God will relate to you, they don't feel comfortable without it. It don't matter if it is choking them. Huh? Because God wants you to look your very best. Oftentimes I walk in a store, you'll preach, aren't you? I like it. I like it. And beloved, he took off his, the next thing he was doing, wearing shorts. I can feel the vibes from that one. Then his wife started wearing them bullfighting breeches. And daddy followed right along behind him. And his daddy is in so much trouble with God now, he's about to go crazy. Because, see, he's done tore down that hedge and tore down that hedge and a snake bit. You want to get snake bit? Take it down. Hey, you want to be a snake handler? Take it down. Because he promised you he'd give you one. Huh? I hate them. I hate snakes. But I hate sin just as bad. I'd rather hold a snake than to have sin to be ruling me, control of me. But we've got church members tonight that are being ruled by sin. And you're constantly, instead of you taking on the principles of God in holiness and building that hedge, you're like a fortress. You're playing around. One day you pick it up, the next day you throw it down. And it'll be not far down the road, you'll keep on throwing it down. I promise you that. I promise you that. Huh? Now, That man I'm talking about, he believed the King James Bible just like I do. Guess what? He don't no more.
Right.
He don't no more. You say that's sickening. I know it's sickening. That's the reason I'm warning you tonight. Don't be dumb enough to think Satan's the one that's tearing your heads down. You make note to your own self. Make a statement to your own self. I'm going to keep make sure my hedge is built out of the strongest material that it possibly could. How in the world can you do that, preacher? It's not hard. I didn't give you one word. Get holy. Get up. He said, buy truth and sell it not. Buy you about a ton of holy and pour it in. And I promise you, it'll set up into one of the greatest love story. Because there ain't nothing wrong with holy. There ain't nothing wrong with holy. I like to be around people that are holy. I do. I love people that are holy. I'm thinking to tell a story I ought not to. Because I'm stupid. And I mean, I like to make people happy. And today, you can't say something as a compliment without being a dirty old man. I want you to look me eyeball to eyeball. I am not a dirty old man. I got one wife. She's been my wife for 59 years, and she is under incarceration. And I'm the warden. And there is absolutely no pardons are going to be issued. Till death do you part, sis. You're going to be with me forever. Huh? But I was at the drugstore and there was a woman in there that I knew was a very fine lady. And I wanted to compliment her so bad. And there ain't one ounce of that stuff that, you know, y'all have that embarrasses you. I don't know how to get embarrassed. And she said something along the lines of, what really do you think of me? Because we was talking in that line of thinking. I said, sis, it's sort of like Moses said about his wife. You sure are easy on the eyes. And I'm telling you what, that whole drugstore went up in laughter. And they knew a dirty old man hadn't said that. That a man wanted to compliment her for her way of walk. Be it so that your holiness. We had a lady that come into our church. And she had fallen on some rough ground. He got her and done things he ought not to. And I asked if she was in a college. And I asked the dean of college, what about her? He said, if you'll just sit right here, said, you'll smell the aroma. She's that kind of woman. And you know something? When I saw her smile, I could see the fragrance. You know how on a hot day you see, you say you're making up a story. To some extent, yes. But she was one of the sweetest persons. She had a lot to be bitter about. But she didn't choose bitterness. She chose to make her hedge strong enough that those girls that she was laboring for were getting help. And everybody knew that she was quality material. Does people know that you're quality material? I got a man in our area, very rich man. And about a year ago, man come to me and told me what he had said about me. Somebody asked him about me, and he looked at him. He said, he's probably the richest man in our county. And the man looked at him and said, he's rich? He said, not on monetary, but he's got things that are far greater. I've got things just far greater than your silver or gold. Build you, build you, build you, build you. Hedge on substance that'll hold. Holiness will hold. By the way, I'm not going to preach this thing because it'll be 12:30 before I get through. But make righteousness. He said they correspond. I know what everything you have, God has correspond. Ain't nothing tangles up with God. It all corresponds. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Everybody want to know how to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it. You just got the recipe. Yes, sir. It ain't. If you show me one place in the Bible where it says you'll be filled if you pray. Now, I believe in prayer and I pray, God fill me. I do. But I'm seeking after righteousness because that's the way He's going to work. And I want my hedge. I mean, if you come to my house next week, you know, are we going to be at home next week? I don't know when we're going to be home. Whenever we're at home, call. We'll be glad to have you. We'll treat you so many ways, you're bound to like one of them. We maybe even carry you to catch some catfish. I don't know. Hey, she'd like to come again. We bought them big ones. Hey, but I wouldn't want you to come and find my wife dressed in something that your pastor hadn't told you over and over. That is the righteous one. That's the way a righteous woman dresses. Hey, if I was a woman tonight and I didn't dress righteously, I'd get it straight down. You've got grandchildren that need that hedge. Huh? You've got children that need that hedge. See, you ain't looking out for nobody but yourself. I've heard it over and over. I ain't hurting nobody but me. Fooey on that. You do.
You're right.
You do. I hate for you to come. I would hate two reasons. I would hate for you to catch me in a pair of shorts. Number one, how ugly it looks. Lord have mercy. And the next thing, I don't think it becomes a godly man. And I want to be a godly man. I want it so that every one of my grandchildren will know when they come by my casket, Granddaddy was just what he said he was. I've heard my son say it over and over, and it tickles me. He said, what my daddy is, you see it every day. You can sneak up to the house, look in the windows. He won't be one bit different than when you see him on the street. Huh? The only thing that I would like it to be, that I'd put some more mortar in my hedge. Because I'm not as holy as I'd like to be. No, I don't smoke cigarettes. No, none of that alcohol is around. But there's some things that I need to be more committed to. See, I've got job security because I got me to deal with. And you know who's the biggest problem that you got tonight? You shave it or you comb the hair of it when you look in the mirror. It ain't me. I ain't messing you up. But you and I need to recognize tonight the importance of the hedge. It's important. I mean, for this day and hour, yes, sir. I don't know how long this is going on. I'm telling you this, I believe with every bit of my heart, it's here to stay. Forget about it going away, because this is the judgment of God on us. If you'll check with animal owners, farm animals owners, they've known about this for, they've been vaccinating cows and all for a long time. If you call my son, who is a cattle farmer, and ask him what you can do about the pandemic in your life, he'll tell you some cow medicine to take. That'll turn you, and in fact, you got a member here that takes that stuff. I can't take it. It knocks me out. In fact, I was talking to Ron, my oldest son, the other night. I said, I guess what we're going to do if I get it again. I've had it once. If I get it again, you're going to have to give it to me and let me stay out until you figure I done out, wore it out. Because I can't take medicine. What is that medicine that you said I took?
Benadryl.
Baby Benadryl. 2 days I didn't know I was in the world. You say you're a wimp. You got it. I'm glad you caught on. Check out the Bible too, by the way. When I become weak, he becomes strong. Hello. See, I just like to do everything the Bible way. But let me encourage you tonight. Please don't take this message lightly. Please don't take it lightly. There's a little boy that needs you. There's a little girl that needs you to stand up tall and be different. I know when I first got saved, they made the statement, would you dare to be different? And I said, yes, I would. Yes, I would. And I'm going to ask you tonight, the hour that we live in, would you dare to be different? Because the whole hustle and bustle of Christianity is ignoring what I'm talking about. Please don't. Father, thank you, Lord. I love you tonight, and I thank you for what you've taught me over the years. And to recognize the truth of God will always prevail. Lord, I pray that what we've said tonight has the Holy Spirit working in lives and allowing us to see that truth will set you free. Have your will and way now in the invitation. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Preacher, you come on up and give the invitation.
So stand all over this building tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. There's snakes out there. The only way they're going to get in is you let them in. How's your hedge looking? That's the question. I sure couldn't get out of my mind what he said about Moses and that ark. Danger all around that little youngin. But God built a hedge about him. The gators couldn't get him. The elements couldn't get him. Tonight, if that's the hedge about you, oh, I don't mean life's easy. I don't mean everything just going to go your way all the time, but I'm glad I'm in a hedge. What about you this evening? Some have already slipped this way. What about you tonight? Oh, I know it's Wednesday night and it's the so-called cream of the crop, as we say. Sometimes we let our guards down. Sometimes we allow things to come into our lives that, well, that's not too bad. It's like them little termites. They'll destroy your house before you even know they're there. There's termites that get in your hedge. Before you know it, there's going to be a way for the old snake to get in there. You come. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord, that's the best thing you ever do is come and get saved. Do you know that you know that you know? That's what gives peace. No matter what happens, I know where I'm heading. Brother Russell's going to sing a verse or two. Some folks are praying. You come tonight. You can't get heard around this altar.
I've wandered far away from God.
David said, search
me. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin. Too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home.
That old snake will bite you.
Coming home. Coming home. Never more to thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm thankful there were some people before me. I was too dumb to know I needed a hedge, but I'm glad I had some people praying, asking God to take care of somebody like me. And we need to do that for our youngins, other people, not just your own, but others, and help make up that hedge this evening. Preacher, thank you so much. Hope you'll come after service and talk to Brother Young, Miss Young. We sure appreciate and love them. Miss Judy can tell you all about the catfish. Is what I've heard. So they're that big. So amen. Well, we're gonna gather around the altar here in just a moment. Close out in prayer, of course. Again, there's a lot of sickness in our church. So we do pray. But again, let's don't forget, Lord's coming. But don't forget, there's a lot of people. I've been reading through the book of Revelations this week. There's some terrible days coming for this old world. Not everybody that says they're saved is going to heaven. Let's be busy about the Lord's business, amen. I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet, like I say. There's a lot of weird things happening around. They've had 9 earthquakes in South Carolina. That's odd, isn't it? I wonder what that's about. I don't know. Maybe God's just wanting to shake them up a little bit. I don't know. I don't know if it's this week, next week, today, tonight, 100 years from now, Lord's coming. That's all I know. And that's what we need to be telling people. So, amen. Do remember our church family, remember our missionaries, of course. Do continue to pray for Miss Stone as she's going through her therapy and she had her knee replacement real well. So just to continue to pray for her. Also, don't forget to pray for Brother Hunting and also pray for his wife, Miss Glenda. She's sick. And he's not able to get around too good, so do pray for them there. Again, do remember these families that's lost family members. Just pray for them, Brother. You have something?
I'd like to ask you I was praying for Donnie Harvey yesterday or the day before coming down the road, and God led me to call him to see if there was a special need in his life. And he said, "Preacher, I've got a son-in-law that's been out of God's will for 16 years, and he's supposed to go to church Sunday. Please pray for him." And I'm asking you,
amen,
let's make a bond. It'd be a wonderful thing,
amen,
if God brought him back in to the fold.
Amen. Brother Mark McDaniel texts me. Who? Mabe, yeah, I think it was Mabe. They sent him to Baptist. It's not looking too good for that. So just pray for that family there. Again, do pray one for another. But if you can, you would, let's gather around the altar tonight. We'll close out in prayer. Thank you for being here tonight. Boy, it's been good. I've enjoyed myself. I hope you have too. And just be, you know, there's something to smile about, something to get excited about.
And so let's be busy about the Lord's work. Again, do remember services coming Lord's Day. No Sunday school, but we'll have 11 o'clock service. So I hope you'll plan on being with us here on Sunday. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the goodness that you have towards your children, Lord. And Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for that hedge as we've heard tonight. And God, it sure has encouraged me. God, once again, just to realize that, Lord, that old devil, he might throw those fiery darts. He might try to beat against that hedge. But Lord, I know tonight, God, that I'm on the inside. He's on the outside. And God, I thank you, Lord, for that comfort that that gives. And Lord, just help us tonight to understand, God, that we're in your hands. God, we're in a good place. And Lord, I just pray that you give us confidence. I pray, God, that you give us comfort. I pray, God, Lord, that you'd help us in these days to stand and cry aloud, Lord. And God, I just pray, Lord, that others, Lord, want to see something in us. Lord, I know I'm nothing. I know we're nothing. But Lord, I just pray, God, they'd see something in us that would show them just a little of who you are. And God, it'd put a hunger in their taste and God, a thirst in their mouth. And God, just pray, Lord, you'd again just help us to lift you up in our lives, Lord, that God, it would draw those men. You said if you be lifted up, you draw all men into you. And Lord God, I just pray in these days, God, that your church would stand in these days and lift up the great name of Christ. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the ministry there, to Brother Young and the tracts and all the literature they print out. And Lord, only time will tell, God, Lord, what works through that. And Lord, I'm thankful we can be a part of that. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this precious book you've allowed us to have. Lord, I'm glad, God, is forever settled, Lord, that God, this whole world's changing daily, but I know this book will never change. And God, I just ask you again to help us to stand upon these truths. Lord, I do pray, dear God, for Miss Doan as she's recovering. Brother Hunting is him and his wife there. I know she's not doing well either, and he was feeling a little sick himself. I do pray for this family that Brother Mark texted me about, the Maid family there. I just pray, Lord, you touch them. And I'm sure there's many, many more tonight, God, round about us, Lord, that have needs. But, Lord, I'm glad, God, that you're able, as Brother Melvin says, able to do exceedingly above. God, that's just who you are. God, go with us tonight. Give safety. I just thank you again, Lord, for Brother Young, Miss Young. Lord, I pray that you just give them safety. And God, just take care of their needs, Lord. And just go with us. Help us, Lord, and to be that witness for you. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, the glory for it all. For it's in your name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Go by and see Brother Young, Miss Young. Have a good evening. Be careful. And we'll see you Sunday.